All right, guys, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. So normally I'm doing a series in the morning services through 1 John, but because we're having a special service today about church, I thought I would talk about church today. So we're going to go to the book of Acts, to the very first church, Acts chapter 2. I'm going to focus on verses 37 through 47. Now, I've really been thinking about what I would share today on this Invite Sunday, and I thought that I would share about something that has really, something that's been, I've been made aware of and have been wrestling with for a few months now. And that is that, to be honest with you, I have a sense with Christianity, at least in North America, we're on a quest for something. We want something more from our Christian lives, from our walk with God. We want something more from church. Just to be honest with you, church. And so the question is, okay, what is that then, George? What is that something more? So, well, I think in order to help us to understand, that's why we're going to look at the first church today. Let me first talk to you about the emptiness, okay? And see if you can resonate with what I'm going to share with you, okay? So here's the first point. The church in general is at a crisis point. The church in general. Now, I'm not just saying Kerr-Winsville Christian Church. I'm talking about in general. Multiple denominations across the U.S. We're at a crisis point. What do you mean we're at a crisis point, George? I thought everything's okay. Yeah, but let me kind of fill you in. Things are not okay. So let me give you, just kind of run down through what's happening. So in the last, I would say the last 5, 6, 7 years, there has been a decline in people coming to church. Now you say, oh, it was COVID. No, the decline was happening before COVID. COVID accentuated it. It kind of amplified it. But the fact is that there are a lot of people walking away from the church. Now, they all have different reasons, but the fact is that they're walking away from the church, especially young people. Okay? Young people are walking away from the church. Here's another one. I just saw this in the news. In the news. Normally I see things in pastoral journals and stuff that I read. But this one made the headlines, and that is, for the first time ever, women are leaving the church. Now, what's so significant about that, George? You just said people are leaving the church. Yeah, but normally women make up, can I be honest with you, the backbone of our churches. Women are predominant. Most churches have more women than they do men. But now women are leaving the churches. Why is that? Well, there's a lot of different reasons why. I don't need to get into them. But it's not meaningful to them anymore. This is the crisis. And so then what we have happening, and it used to not be true, but it's especially been true in the last 20 years or so, we have this quest, this search that's going on because of where the church is and why. Well, here's the second point. The current presentation of church is not meeting our deepest need. See, all of us, I don't know if you realize this or not, all of you within you have a deep need. You may not even know what it is. You may not even be able to identify exactly what it is. But we all have this deep need within us, and we try to find things to fill it. We try to find things to fill our need. And so sometimes we think it's church. And so when the church doesn't fill that need, we go look for another church. So we look for another church that has better music. Okay, great, wonderful. Or better this, or better programming, or this. You know, in our lives, sometimes we look for things to fill our need, and it might be, okay, we're in hunting season right now. You know, maybe it's making sure that I get the right buck this year. And I'll be fulfilled if I get the, I mean, if it's sitting in my office on the wall, I can look at it and say, yeah, I did it. That'll be fulfilling. Well, after whatever you pay for it to be taxied and taxidermied, and And I can guarantee you, when you make space for it on the wall, you're going to forget that. But then here's the problem. The need is still going to be there, right? Need is still going to be there. I mean, I've often thought, you know, if I get this vehicle, then I'll be okay. I'll be happy. Well, I get the vehicle. Guess what? After about 6 months or a year, or the first scratch, or the first ding at Walmart, or whatever, I'm not happy anymore, right? So we have this need. And what we see is that in church, the current presentation of church isn't meeting our deepest need. And I think, can I be honest with you, for all the stuff, whether it's social justice programming, how community involvement, all the stuff we do, yeah, there's a short-term satisfaction maybe, but we still have that need. And so people, they're walking away. So what's the issue, George? Well, let's examine that today. So we're going to examine it today. We're going to go back to the first church. Acts chapter 2. It's right after Peter does his message on Pentecost. We're going to start with verse 37, and then we're going to look at what the first church was doing through verse 47. So let's look at this together. Here is what the writer Luke records in the book of Acts. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. All right, so here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to take this passage. I'm going to divide it into two sections. The first thing I'm going to focus on is verse 42 to 47. And you say, "Wait a minute, George, that's not how you normally look at a passage. You kind of take it from the beginning and work our way through it." No, I want to talk about verse 42 to 47 first. I'm going to talk about the first church, what they were doing. And let's kind of talk about ourselves as we do it, okay? Here's what I want you to see. First thing I want you to see is look at verse 42. He says this, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers." All right, now here's what we know about the first church. They dedicated themselves to learning God's word, community — that's what fellowship is, the fellowship, that means spending time with each other — worship — that's the breaking of bread, that's communion — and prayer. That's what they devoted themselves. That early church was so motivated that when they got together, they wanted to spend time with each other. They devoted themselves. Okay, what is the teaching? And they were learning God's word. And then they were focused on worship together, in particular communion, which is where we remember the body and blood of Christ and the sacrifice that was made for each other, and prayer. And when they prayed, they believed God was going to answer them. They just believed it. That's the early church. First thing we see about that kind of church. Here's the second thing. They were in awe of the visible presence of God among his people. Look at me at verse 43. Look at what he says. And awe came on every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. They were aware that God was in their midst. So when they came in, they were like, wow, God's here with his people. And in their time, God did wonderful, miraculous things. Yes. Can he still do that? Yes. But the fact is they were in awe of the presence of God. It wasn't just a service they were attending. Sometimes we think church is just a service. It's more than a service. Sometimes we think it's just a group of people that we hang out with. It's not a club. It's a group of people who believe that God is real, and they know that he's real because when they come together, man, they sense, well, didn't he say that? Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. That God is there. So when they came together in fellowship, in church, as they assembled together, they had an expectation God was going to show up. God was going to speak to them. God was going to meet their needs. That was the early church. Here's the next thing we see about the early church. Okay? Look with me at verse 44 to 47. Big section, basically making one point. Here's what it said. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Here's what I want you to see. They placed the needs of others above their own. They placed the needs of others above their own. Now, some people will look at this and say, are they describing communism where we all are on the same income level and we just need to all sell our stuff and everybody just redistribute wealth here or something? No, that's not what it's talking about. What he's talking about is that people, when they were together and God was working in their midst, if they saw somebody in the congregation who had a need, they gave of themselves, if it meant selling something to help somebody else, they did that to help somebody else. They were not selfish, but selfless. Did you understand what I'm saying? It wasn't a selfish church. It was a selfless church where they were there to be there for other people. That motivated them. You know, I've been a pastor now for over 30 years. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I meet people and they'll say, hey, George, I'm no longer coming to the church. And, okay, I'm sorry to hear that. I hope you find somewhere else. And then they'll say, we want to know why? I want to know why. Okay. Well, you guys just aren't meeting my needs. Well, I feel bad for that, but can I be honest with you? That's not why I'm here. That's not why we're here. We're not here so that your needs are met. Wasn't that what church is for, George? No. I think you've misunderstood. It's the reverse in church. You come to be there for other people. In God's economy, it's not about what you get. It's about how you can help other people. Did you understand what I'm saying? It's about being there for other people. And through the years, I'll be honest with you, I just want to thank God when I see him and say, God, you have shown me the blessings of that so many times and the people I've pastored who were willing to give for others and be a blessing. And that's what it's about. And that's what this church did. Okay, that's what this church did. And then the final thing is, the very last part of verse 47, He says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. What's going on here? Well, here it is. God was blessing them by bringing others who found faith in Jesus Christ. See, when you're that kind of church that is devoted to the things you need to be devoted to, you are not being selfish, you're being selfless. God brings other people because he's real. He's real. Now, you might be saying, okay, that's wonderful, George. Great, you showed us about the early church. How's that any different than what we're already doing? I mean, we're here every Sunday. You teach Sunday school. You do stuff that's on the church app. You are showing us the reality of God's word and teaching. We pray. You know what we're doing, the prayer focus cards. We're praying for each other. Hey, we're there for each other. I mean, I'm there for people if they need me. And so how's that any different than what they're doing? And to be honest with you, we're doing the same things. But there's something wrong. There's something wrong. What is it, George? Well, you know, I was just thinking, it just came to my mind. I'll share it with you. I'm not asking you to turn there, but over Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, it's Jesus' letter to the church at Ephesus who were, quote, doing all the right things, and he commends them for doing all the right things. So in a way, Jesus would look at us and say, hey, Kernersville Christian Church, you're doing all the right things. But here's what he says. I got a problem, though. There's one problem. There is one thing that's missing. You say, how can it be missing? We're doing this stuff. How can it be missing? Here's what he said. You've forgotten your first love. You've forgotten why you're doing all those things. So that's why I want to go back now to verse 37 to 41. We talked about what they were doing, and we looked at it, and we were like, yeah, we're doing that, but what's the difference? Well, the difference, I think, is verse 37 to 41 about what happened before verse 42 to 47. So let's read the passage again together, just that one section, 37 to 41, and then I've got two things I want to leave with you, okay? Two things that we're hoping to go with here, okay? Here's what I want you to notice, okay? Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourself from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they added and were added that day about 3,000 souls. Here's the first thing I want you to see, okay? So, what's the difference, George? Okay, I already told you, we've lost our first love. We've lost the basis for why we do it, okay? So no amount of effort, no amount of changing the music, no amount of how much involvement we do in the community, nothing's going to change that. That emptiness is going to be there. So what do we do about it? Let's look at what they do. Here's two things. Number one, they had a very real understanding of their emptiness. It says they were cut to the heart. It's like they realized, this is what's missing. And no amount of stuff can fill it. Can I be honest with you? What's missing is God. What's missing is the very real presence of God in our lives. And so they said, Peter, what can we do about this, Peter? What can we do? So Sometimes we've got to begin with that. We've got to begin with recognizing where the emptiness is coming from. And I know sometimes we don't want to think about going there, that it's God. But yeah, it is, because he, can I be honest with you, he created that emptiness in you. That nothing is going to be fulfilled. You know what, I've been married to this great lady for 31 years, but I'm going to tell you something. She fulfills me in a lot of ways, but I'm going to tell you something. She doesn't take away my emptiness. Because she wasn't meant to take away my emptiness. My hobbies don't take away my emptiness. I told you I don't like vegetables earlier. I do like food, though, okay? It may take away the void in my stomach, but it doesn't take away my emptiness. Because it wasn't meant to. God is the only one who takes away our emptiness. But the problem is that I do wrong things. I'm a sinner. I have attitudes. I say wrong things. I think wrong things. I do wrong things. The reality is, okay, then I'm just expanding my emptiness, right? Yeah, but that's why Jesus came. He paid the price so that that would be forgiven. So I could be reconciled to God, and that he then fills me and takes care of my emptiness. And see, that's what they realized. They realized they needed God. And he became so real to them. Here's the second thing. They found ultimate fulfillment through faith in Jesus. Fulfillment, can I be honest with you? Emptiness isn't, I mean, we're glad you're here, we're glad you attend, but to be honest with you, this isn't going to bring you the fulfillment, coming here, being a part of this service. What will bring me the fulfillment, George? You connecting with God. You connecting with him, you seeking after him, letting him show you, letting him speak to you, letting him guide you. Now, what is church then? Church then is the result of all of these people who have this relationship with God coming together so that we can stir each other on in our relationship with him. We're all here because God's been real to us and we're in awe of him, so that when we enter into this place, we're like, God, you're here with us. In fact, I just a couple weeks ago, I had breakfast with a guy who was visiting, and for some reason I felt like I needed to take him out for breakfast, and I took him out to my favorite breakfast place in town, and sitting there talking, and he says to me, man, when I walked into your place, I mean, he didn't know church lingo and words or stuff. He said, I just felt that energy. And I knew exactly what he was talking about. He was talking about God's Spirit being there. And the people, it was just awesome to be there. And all I could do was just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for being real to that guy. May you be real to everyone that way. But how do you find it? Faith in Jesus. See, how do we get to be like this first church? I'll be honest with you. It's not by doing the things they do. It's by knowing the Jesus they do. It's by experiencing the Jesus they do. Do you know what I'm saying? So when you read the book of Acts, there's like crazy stuff happens. Peter gets arrested. He's in a jail. He's chained to another guard to make sure he doesn't leave. Angel comes in, releases him from his, scoots him on his way. He ends up going to a house. knocks on the door. They won't let him in. In fact, they think he's a ghost because Peter's supposed to be in jail, not at the gate, wanting to come in. And then the text says, and they were praying for Peter at that time. They were blown away that he showed up. Why? Because they really didn't believe God could do it. And he did. That's because they had a relationship with him. That's what we need, right? So where are you at? Here's the thing. If you're just resting in church, the scariest verse in the Bible is in Matthew chapter 7. When they'll appear before him, Jesus said they'll appear before him in that day, and they'll say, Lord, Lord, did we not do all these great things in your name? And he'll say to them, depart from me. I never knew you. Whoa. I mean, they were doing all, like casting out demons, it says, and all these great, wonderful things they were doing in the name of Jesus in church and the assembly. And God says, depart from me. I don't even know who you are. So it's possible that you can come and be a part and do all the stuff and not know him. See, the most important thing is, do you know him? And if you know him and things aren't, the emptiness is there and it's amplified. The question is, have you lost it? Have you lost the love? So go back and you say to him, Lord, I need to get back to where I was before. Forgive me. And I want that relationship with you. And then when he becomes so real to you, church takes on a whole new dynamic. Something for you and I to think about. Let me pray.